Indiana, Miami. If we play the Lakers, Portland, if we have to play Portland.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Houston, OKC, really.
Yeah.
I guess Denver, Utah is going to be all right if it's like that game on Saturday. That was a pretty good game.
We'll see.
But... Celtics Sixers would have been nice if it wasn't for Ben Simmons.
All right. What's up?
We're recording. The Celtics didn't get fucking lucky.
Oh, we're recording already? Okay.
Yeah. It's okay. Long time no talk. What's up, guys? It's D.
What's up, guys? This is George.
What's up, guys? This is Q.
Yo, welcome to the pickup show. It's been a minute, man. Due to the bubble and the Rona, we just decided to keep it low key and just wait till actual news happens.
To be honest, Daniel, we all have a lot more time on our hands at this point than we did before.
Yeah, for the most part, some people still don't. I know,
you know. True.
You're still hella busy and shit. But before we go into everything, let's just go to the recent news. First off, Jim Boylan finally fired by the Chicago Bulls. Let's go with George. You go first. What are your thoughts?
I think it was about time. I'm just curious what took him so long to do that. He went 39-84 in his entire time there. Never made the playoffs. If I recall correctly, there were also issues with players not really wanting to play for him. And as a head coach, if you lose the locker room, like, good luck trying to get anything done. And it's upsetting to see that he couldn't do much with the team that he had. Because when you look at Chicago's roster, it's a solid young roster. I'm not saying, like, oh, my God, you know, they're going to win the championship and all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, they got really young quality pieces at various positions. You know, they got Kobe White, who did really well. Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter Jr. So there's something there that they can work with, and clearly this head coach wasn't, you know, the right fit for that. I don't know if you guys can think of any other players that I may have overlooked, who are, you know, that we could look at Chicago. But I mean, there's just a lot of quality players there. They also got Otto Porter Jr. is another example. Denzel Valentine, I believe, is still there. They're just good quality players. Chandler Hutchinson, which I know Daniel was very high on in the draft. So I just think it was time for them to move on, and better late than never. I think they might want to give Mark Jackson a look if he's interested in coaching. I think he'd be a good fit there. He works really well with young players, as he did with the Warriors. Granted, he didn't get a championship with the Warriors, you know, that took Steve Kerr coming in. But I think you look at Mark Jackson here and see if he you kick the tires and see if he's interested in coaching again.
Cute.
I agree with everything George said. It was about time. I don't know why they waited after the season was kind of put on hold to do it, and why they needed to play or not play the bubble games and then decide to do it. Like he said, also, when you lose the locker room, you're kind of going to lose your job at the same time, too. There's just no way you can ever fix that relationship, really. The stuff that they were saying about, you know, players, you know, not wanting to play for him. I heard stuff about, like, potential physical altercations or stuff like that. Like, I don't think you can come back from stuff like that. So the Bulls are just a mess. And so they're going to need to make the right pick this time at head coach, you know. To kind of steer the ship. So it'll be interesting to see. But knowing the way the last 22 years have gone after Jordan retired, you know, I can understand if Bulls fans are doubtful that management is going to make that decision, going to make the right decision this time.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all you guys. I feel like I was one of the first ones to be like, you know what? Get rid of Jim Boylan. Like, he doesn't match up with who they have. Like, Zach LaVine got in altercations with him. Daniel Gafford came out of nowhere on his Twitch or whatever and said, like, he doesn't like the coach. Lauri Markkanen doesn't like the coach. Like, no one likes the coach. And it's obvious, so why have him there? Just easy as that, all right? So, next question on that. I know George already said his, but Q, who do you think should be their next coach?
I haven't heard the candidates that they're looking at. But I mean, I know that there's a couple assistant coaches from the Lakers and Clippers staff that are probably going to get interviews elsewhere. Like Jason Kidd, Ty Lue. I know that Ty Lue is linked to the Nets job. And obviously they have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So, a lot of coaches are going to want to go there, just one, because it's a big market, and two, because of those two guys. But maybe Chicago, being, the third biggest market in the NBA, can lure away one of the top candidates.
Okay. I know George said Mark Jackson. For me, I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of the same coaches, like, up. Like, you always hear Tom Thibodeau, you hear Jeff Van Gundy, you hear this or that. For the Bulls, I would like someone, honestly, under the radar, or even just one of the assistant coaches.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know the Bulls already tried, Tom Thibodeau going back to it. I'm not saying that they're looking at him right now, but let's not forget that he almost killed Lou Dang.
Yeah, well, that's why he's going to the Knicks. He's going to kill the Knicks. Is that a for sure thing?
Yeah. Anymore?
Yeah, he's going to kill the Knicks. So that's fine. He's going to kill LaMelo Ball if he goes there.
I thought the Knicks had lost their pulse like 10 years ago.
No, they're still going. But going back, I just want someone new, man. I just want someone new. And honestly, the Bulls have like such a run and gun team. Like, why don't you just do that? So, yeah, someone who's very open. That's what I want. But all right, let's go to the next topic. Vlade Divac has stepped down. Quentin, what are your thoughts?
I guess that one's kind of about time too. You know, he's had a few years to construct a team in his image. There were some strange decisions. A lot of pile up in certain positions, especially at power forward, where there's about six of them that they acquired in 1 year. So I think Sacramento just needs a change. You know, I don't know if this is necessarily a good or a bad move per se. I lean more towards it's good, just because we haven't seen the progress, or Sacramento Kings fans haven't seen the progress that they've expected. I just think they need a change. Kind of like the Bulls, they've been stuck in like no man's land for the last 15 years. And they have, even more so than Chicago, I would say, more promising players, or at least a more promising player in De'Aaron Fox, who you could argue should have made the All-Star team this year. So they need something to kind of push them in the right direction. So I think they needed a change as well.
All right. George.
I'm looking at it here. Vlade Divac, assumed the role that he has, it looks like, on August 31st of 2015. So the 2015 draft, I believe, wasn't necessarily his responsibility. But when you look at his first draft, let's just go with 2016. His first pick looks like it was Georgios Papagiannis, who was a center. And in that same draft, he took Malachi Richardson, who was a shooting guard. And then, a couple picks later, it was Scalabissier, another, seven-footer. And then if you start looking at,
don't forget that he also got Buddy Hield.
Yes, he did. No, I'm not saying that he really messed up on a lot of picks, but I'm just trying to support what Q said in regards that there was just a lot of bigs taken. Harry Giles was another one. So in 2 years alone, he basically had three bigs. And he also, yes, he did get Buddy Hield, and he also drafted De'Aaron Fox, but we also got to overlook, we can't overlook the fact that he did pass on Luka, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
another bit of a blunder.
And he had the least amount of reason to pass on Luka because, being a European player himself, I'm sure he had intel or connections in the EuroLeague that maybe a lot of other GMs didn't. Mm-hmm. So
you look at three consecutive years, it was Harry Giles, Marvin Bagley, Scal, all similar profile. And then you have a chance to, I understand he already had De'Aaron Fox there. So why look at Luka? But I feel like when you got playmakers like that, you just got to draft the, best available. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what he tried to do, but he just loaded up way too much on bigs. And again, it just doesn't seem like they've had a direction. I believe, what was the name of that one coach? I can never pronounce it because the last name started with a J and it was like a bunch of different letters. Thank you. I know he had a solid run, almost got them to the playoffs. I don't recall if he did. But there was also issues with coaches where they were butting heads. And then he went out the season and got Luke Walton, who honestly, we could all agree at this point that everything Luke did with the Warriors was clearly just the Warriors and the culture that was already built in there. It's not necessarily that Luke Walton is a good coach. So there were just too many questionable moves. And this is also another, it's about time. The only difference between him and Jim Boylan being a coach and him being an executive, is that, you know, Vlade, given his history with the Kings, was given a fair shot at building something. And honestly, it didn't, you know, build anything special or anything to really create a buzz around the team or create a path to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with all of you guys. I think that Marvin Bagley pick really hurt him. Because everything else seems okay. But that pick, because Marvin Bagley hasn't even been healthy at all. So, and who knows, maybe that'll be his whole career. We don't know.
Yeah.
But I think if maybe if Marvin Bagley was healthy, maybe we would feel different about Vlade. But, I mean, it is what it is. Bagley's hurt all the time, and that looks bad on Vlade. So I think it was about time.
No, I just want to add something to it. What is your both of your opinions on the man who's replacing, on the individual who's replacing Vlade, and that's Joe Dumars?
Ooh.
Keith, he's going to take over that role for the remainder of the year. I believe it's only an interim position, whether or not he gets it permanently. Uh-huh. But you look at his track record, and it's like, you know, 04 Pistons or early 2000s Pistons. After that,
yeah. Like, That's how I went, oh, like he did good with the 04 Pistons, but Q?
Yeah, his career started out strong, but after they won that title, it kind of fizzled out. So, yeah. And I don't know when the last time he's been in a management role was. I think it hasn't been for the last 5 years that he's ran a team since the Pistons did let him go. So, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see what he does this offseason with the Kings moving forward, because the track record of the last, you know, his last 5 years, I would say, being in charge, they haven't been great.
And let's just remember, if we're talking about he's going to be in charge of draft picks, let's remember, I think he was the general manager in 03. He chose Darko over Carmelo and Wade and Bosch. That's not something you want in your management.
So you're saying they kind of replaced them with another Vlade? He chose Bagley over Luka, over Trae Young, over all those guys, or maybe not that.
Because I wouldn't have chose Trae if I were the Kings. I think
you know what?
Than Trae.
I agree with you because that's hindsight. Because you know, to this day, I'm still apologizing to Trae Young because you know I thought he was too small. But you know what? Again, I apologize.
So good. All right, let's go from Sacktown to New Orleans. Just in, Pelicans fire Alvin Gentry. Who wants to go? I think George, you go first. Thoughts?
I'm totally fine with this. I understand Alvin Gentry came with a lot of good expectations, having spent so much time on as a Warriors bench coach, and showing really, really good, I guess, a solid track record as a bench coach. But we've seen, you know, not all the time, or certain coaching trees just don't work out. And we're seeing maybe Warriors coaching trees aren't the best. I feel there's a reason why Mike Brown hasn't left. Luke left. We saw what he's kind of done. Now we're seeing it with Alvin Gentry. He didn't exactly have a whole lot of success when he was the head coach, I believe, in Phoenix beforehand. And let's just be honest here. The only reason why the Pelicans were there, the NBA really wanted to get them into the playoffs. And he couldn't do it. And he had some questionable issues. I mean, some questionable decisions. While in the bubble, he was very, I'm going to play Zion a couple minutes some games. I'm going to play him no minutes or minimal minutes in others. Whether or not that has to do with any health issue that hasn't been disclosed with Zion. I just think there was a lot of questionable decision making. And I mean, yeah, I think it's just time for them to move on as well. Considering that they have such a young core now, there's a chance for them to start fresh with, like, as Daniel mentioned, try going after, you know, a new line of coaches. A lot of these players are young. So, you know, as you get turnover with players, you know, generations change, you got to get a turnover of coaches as well. So, you know, don't be afraid to go after, you know, some younger coaches and, you know, let them get NBA experience. Give them a shot. And I think that works really, really well when you have a young team and you bring in a solid young coach and they kind of grow together and it creates a solid culture in a locker room. So that's my guess for that. Just kind of, you know, as just to reiterate what Daniel says for New Orleans, don't go after, you know, the usual candidates that you see all the time. Go after someone young, someone, if it's got to be like, you know, a first time head coach, go for it. Your team is young. You have the time.
Cube.
I like that last point. I think that's probably the ultimate factor that made them make that decision. Is sometimes you just need to change, especially when the team's like young and up and coming. You need to make that early so there's a coach that grows with the team moving forward, that grows together with it. A younger coach, some like kind of new blood in there. So I think that'll probably be beneficial for the young players on that team. I don't think Alvin Gentry's a bad coach. And this bubble, I don't think the play of everyone, you know, or the overall play of the team was completely on him. Like, there's no excuse for someone like Lonzo Ball to come back and play the way he did. Zion Williamson, I know he didn't play him this and that. That might have been something that management, you know, kind of forced on him. Like, hey, this guy's our future. Like, you know, he's already got health issues. You know, we're coming back after a 5-month delay. We don't want to risk anything. You know, he's special. And so maybe he was a little overcautious with that. I just feel like in some way, shape, or form, he might have been handcuffed by that. So I don't think it's completely his fault. But I don't blame the Pelicans also for wanting to go in a new direction with all this new talent now that they have after losing Anthony Davis last year. So I'm definitely going to watch who they're going to hire. You know, there's been rumors, I think, of Jason Kidd going there. So that'll be interesting to see if there's another Lakers-Pelicans swap with that.
Does anyone not remember what Jason Kidd did as a coach?
As Brooklyn, like, and Milwaukee?
He was one of the worst coaches. Like, why is this dude still getting looks?
The reason why he gets looks, and let's look at this. He's getting looks on teams that have Lonzo Ball on them. The Lakers brought him in for that specific reason. Now he's over there. I think they're just looking to find a way to fix Lonzo. But here's the thing. You could bring in whatever coach you want. It just doesn't seem like Lonzo is there or dedicated mentally. It came out that he was apparently checked out. He honestly has seemed checked out for the past couple of years. And that's why, like, when I told Daniel when he put that tweet of, you know, better show my stats next year. I mean, I could show him the stats.
Do it. Show him the stats.
From like his rookie year and see like as he really progressed, you know, like the fact that LaMelo Ball looked like an immature kid and now he almost already leapfrogged him, which was expected by many people. But he kind of already leapfrogged him in what appears to be work ethic and dedication to the game. I mean, that says a lot.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Lonzo. Like, I really liked him his senior year of high school. And even at UCLA, he was a killer. It looked like he was having fun too. Now, since he's been to the NBA, it does not look like he's had fun at all. I don't know what happened, but if we can bring back UCLA, Chino Hills, Lonzo Ball, he would be fine. But
it could be like he doesn't have that culture. You know, when you're in college, high school, it's more about, you know, the camaraderie of the team. This is more strictly business in the NBA, and you know, and I think it's that little bit of change in culture and that change in philosophy from playing sports as what, you know, the college would call as an amateur, you know, as to playing it as a professional. I just don't think that he's grasped that concept yet.
Yeah, probably. My thoughts, I think it's good. I think it's about time they let go of him. I do agree with Q that I feel like Alvin Gentry was kind of handcuffed, especially with sitting out Zion. I mean, he could have been better with his minute management, like make sure he plays at the end of the games.
Yes.
But that's neither here nor there. One coach I would like to see here, I mean, it's funny because they fired Monty Williams, who I think would have been the perfect coach for this team. But another coach I would like to see is Dave Yeager. I think Dave Yeager would do good with this Pelicans team. All right, let's go to topic two. We are going to go, we're going to talk about TJ Warren. Just to remind everyone, during the 2019 NBA draft, the Pacers agreed to acquire TJ Warren and the number 32 pick, which came out to be, I think it was like KZ Akapi or something like that. Akapalu, thank you. But they traded him to Miami in exchange for cash. During the bubble, TJ averaged 31 points, 58% from the field, 52% from three, 6.6 rebounds, and 2.3 assists. Q, how is this even possible? Like, what happened?
Okay, I'm going to start off real quick. I'm going to defend the Suns trade.
Wait, no, because that's the second topic.
That's the second topic. All right.
Because I have something, too, with that.
Okay. I don't think we should be as surprised as we are. If you look at his stats over the last 3 years, he's averaged over 18 per game. So, and everybody knows ever since he came out of NC State, you know, he averaged like 25 as a sophomore. He's a late lottery pick. I know I thought he was kind of like Joe Johnson. Yeah. His entire NBA career, he's averaged over 15 on 50% shooting in under 30 minutes a game. So he's been a scorer. I think what's changed is just his three-point shooting the last 2 years. You know, he went from someone that was in like the low to mid-20s to someone that's, you know, an above-average three-point shooter now. He's shooting 40% from three. And I guess, you know, he came back, you know, more ready to play than other guys, or he worked on his game during the bubble, or just with a different motivation. And now we're seeing it. He's being more aggressive. I think he knew he had to be more aggressive because there were concerns about Victor Oladipo coming back for Indiana and playing, even though he's back and playing now. When Sabonis went down, I think that created a sense of urgency also. So, you know, he's always been a scorer, you know, at least in my eyes. We're just seeing what he can do when he's a focal point of offense. And I've been really impressed with him. And, you know, he's been a revelation for Indiana. And I was kind of disappointed when Sabonis went down because I was really excited to see what the Pacers could do in the bubble and moving forward in the playoffs. I think they have a really good team. But maybe, you know, even without Sabonis, if he continues to play like this and Oladipo and Brogdon play as, you know, well as they usually do, maybe we could see Indiana make some noise.
All right, George?
I think it just all comes down to opportunity. I think going back to what Q said, you know, there was questions about Oladipo. You know, Sabonis was out. I think he was just, he got the opportunity, he got the minutes, and he ran with it. And clearly he's worked hard on improving his range because his three-point shooting has improved substantially. And I think that's honestly just what it comes down to. There's a lot of quality players. There's a lot of players who can do what he has done. But they're simply sometimes just not enough minutes or enough opportunity. And I think given the situation of how everything happened with the Rona and postponing the season, some players not coming back in the best shape, some players coming back still in great shape because, you know, they continued working out during the time off. I really just think that he got the opportunity and he ran with it. That's honestly what I think happened with him.
Yeah, I agree. And like Q, I feel like during this draft, Q and I talked about TJ Warren. We talked about, like, he's a bucket getter. He's been a bucket getter. And, in, you know, I'm not even going to go into the Phoenix part yet, but I'm not surprised just because, honestly, you guys said it all. You guys said it all. So whatever I was going to say, you guys said, and I just agree 1,000%. All right, now, Q, you said you wanted to defend the Suns. Why did the Suns let him go? Or defend them? Defend the Suns. Why did they trade
defend him? Why did they trade him, and why just for cash considerations?
So last season in January, TJ Warren basically said he wasn't going to come back to play. He had an ankle injury and made some comments about how he was going to wait until it was fully healed and he wasn't mentally ready to play. And it was an injury that, let's just say, I don't want to say it was similar to what Kawhi had, because it's not. It was an ankle injury. Kawhi's, I guess, could have been, was a little more serious. So management and even like the fans are kind of questioning, you know, is this guy quitting on us? You know, is he being lazy? This injury should be healed. You know, it's a tricky thing when people are questioning someone's injury because they don't know how someone's body is. But when it gets to that point, you know, it's never good. So because they thought he might have quit on them, his trade value kind of went down the tank. And James Jones, you know, when he traded him to the Pacers, he had to throw in that second round pick to get someone to take him, even though the guy's a bucket getter, like we've talked about. I think a lot of teams around the league were kind of questioning his commitment and the circumstances that went on in Phoenix. So, you know, he technically got traded with the second round pick to Indiana, and Indiana gave that second round pick away and just got the cash. So that's why people are saying it's only for cash considerations. But at the same time, the cap space that he took up, Phoenix did use that cap space to sign Ricky Rubio and Kelly Oubre. So they didn't get nothing for him per se. They did get two guys that have, you know, played a significant role in their team this season. So I think it's a little unfair to just say, oh, Phoenix, what the hell were you doing? They just let him go. There was a kind of a reasoning behind it. Even though he's playing well now, who knows if he could have flourished with them in this bubble or even all year before the shutdown.
Good. George, do you have anything?
I think what Q said, like, it's honestly, it makes sense. But I just feel like given the Suns' track record, it's really, really, really hard to look at it, at least initially, the way Q saw it. Mm-hmm. You know, given the way the Suns have, you know, loaded up on guards in the past, and then, you know, they had a coaching carousel for a while. And so just given the history from the past, what, anywhere from the 5 to 10 years, it hasn't been a positive one. So you see something like this happen, and you automatically are going to think, oh, well, you know, the Suns let another guy go, and only for cash consideration. Yeah. So, you know what? I agree with Q with what he just said. I just think it sucks that it happened to the Suns. Like, it just seems like, you know, when it rains, it pours. And, you know, some of these franchises, they have some talent, and they just can't put it together. But I agree with Q.
Yeah. I could get what he's saying, you know, when it's an organization is like that, or makes, you know, a lot of mistakes like that, and then you see something like that happen, you kind of think it doesn't matter what the reasoning was behind it. You know, why would you let this guy go? But, you know, I had to go back and look too, because I couldn't remember the exact circumstances. But it seems like there's a little more reasoning, I guess, than people would expect there. And clearly, fortunately for Phoenix, it didn't affect them during this bubble, which we'll get into, I'm sure.
Yeah, boo-boo. And just quick, make this a quick answer. What would have been the potential of a Booker, Oubre, Warren, Aiden lineup? Anyone?
Well, let's look at it this way. Did they have that lineup at any point in the past? Did they have all three of them on the roster at the same time at any point? No,
all
right?
All four of them? I'm not sure.
So you that, said Rubio in there or no?
No, I just said Booker, Oubre, Warren, Aiden.
No, because I think they got Kelly Oubre this offseason. Oubre, yeah, they've never had it.
What could have been the potential of something like that? I would have put them just off sheer talent. I would have had them maybe as a team to look at. Given what they did this year in the bubble, I would have had them as a team to keep an eye on for next season, much like what Monty Williams said. You know, they went out there and they earned the respect of the league. Some more teams are starting to respect them, taking them seriously now, and that's a big part of it. Because a lot of the times, you know, oh, we're playing the Suns. You see the Suns on your schedule, and you think, okay, that's a dub, depending what team you are. You know, that may not be the case anymore, and that in itself plays a big role in just having confidence in yourself. And so, being able to have all four of those guys, I feel like they would have been a very, 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 very good team with a lot of potential, with a good head coach in Monty Williams, and they would have been a team to keep an eye on. But it's just tough to say exactly how it would have happened because of what Q said in regards to Warren and his injury and kind of how everything played out. He mentioned it was kind of like Kawhi, where you know they don't know their body the way an individual does. And as far as, because we got to take that into consideration too, let's say they would have had all four. What a strange relationship.
Just needed a quick answer for this.
You're right. It would have been dope. It would have been something to keep an eye on. I forgot you mentioned about that. Sorry.
Quinton, go ahead.
I don't know if it would have made a huge difference, to be honestly. I think they still would be the same team that they've been. And maybe they've turned a corner this bubble, but I think they are going to be a very similar team next year. Just very inconsistent. A team with a lot of talent. A team that on certain nights competes with the top teams in the NBA and doesn't give them an easy win. And then the next night against a more subpar team, you know, it gets run off the court. So maybe they would have been offensively more potent. But even then, you know, Devin Booker, you know, he needs the ball in his hands. Not saying that in a bad way, but he's more of a playmaker now than he used to be. So when you give that to Warren, you know, maybe that helps him, opens the floor up a little bit more for him. Maybe not, but I don't see it being significantly different.
All right, I'm going to keep it short and simple. They still wouldn't have made the playoffs. They probably would have been 10th or 11th. All right, so let's stick with the Phoenix Suns. And let me ask you, Quinton, are they a legit contender now, or is this just lightning in the bottle?
Contender? Hell no. They're a playoff contender. Next year, mm-hmm. maybe, if, like I said, if they've turned a corner with this. I think this is because the season's not going to start for a couple more months. We'll see, you know, if the momentum of this carries over, you know, during the playoffs when they're not playing, or if it's going to fizzle by the start of next year and we see a start similar to one 3 years ago under Earl Watson when they're letting teams score like 130 points a game and stuff like that. I hope it is because Devin Booker, I saw in the bubble. You know, he looks every bit the player that, you know, he was, that people think he can be, a perennial all-star. So, and, you know, we need some new blood in there to compete with the Western Conference powers. So, Devin Booker's the type of superstar that can lead, that if he continues to develop and lead a team like that, you know, they'll be exciting to watch. So, for their sake, I hope they've turned a corner, but I just don't know because of their track record the past few years. You know, they can easily regress back to what they've used to been.
Agree. And just to clarify, Devin Booker's stats, 31 points, 4.6 rebounds, 6 assists. Just legit buckets. George, what are your thoughts? Are they legit?
I think after going 8-0, do I got to keep this one short or?
We're on the third topic and it's already 33 minutes in, so
be it. I think that they do have future playoff contenders, and I think just given how they can, if they finally turn the corner and they're starting to develop players accordingly, you know, I feel like with that you can maybe give them the benefit of the doubt, overlook a little bit of their past track record, and I think that, you know, we could be looking at a future contending team in the next 5 years, because we also got to remember they went 8-0. They probably might have gained they gained the respect of a lot of teams now. They have a good head coach. It's a young team. They have Devin Booker, who you mentioned gets buckets. Kelly Oubre was playing well this year. DeAndre Ayton seems to be starting to fit into his role finally. And they have a lottery pick this year. Let's not forget that. So they definitely have a shot to build a really, really good young core. And become contenders maybe in the next 5 years if Devin Booker was to stay there. That's the big one.
We'll get into that later. For me personally, I'm not saying they're legit. I'm just saying there's potential. Like George said, they have a lottery pick this year. And not only this lottery pick, their last lottery pick, Cam Johnson, actually showed out in the bubble. He did good. So I'm super happy for that. And let's not forget, also, people forget that the Nuggets, the Suns have cap space next year. They only have $84 million in the budget right now. So they have probably 20-something million dollars left over where they can get where they can probably get a, who knows, they can try to get a Fred VanVleet. They can get maybe a Paul Millsap to work with the DeAndre Ayton. Maybe a Christian Wood. Or fuck it, even a Malik Beasley from Minnesota. Like, I think this offseason is super important. Probably the most important offseason they've probably ever had. Well, probably not ever had, but in recent years. Because if they don't strike it big this year with a good lottery pick and a decent free agent signing, I could see Devin Booker wanting out.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to my next question. Should and Booker so want hard, out?
And it's going to be so hard to evaluate talent this draft. So, yeah. Given that, I mean, it's a lot of pressure, as you said, but let's just say, for example, they don't hit it that well in this draft. I really wouldn't put that on the organization.
Everyone's going to have to deal with it, so it's not just them. Yeah, Q, go ahead.
I just want to say two quick things. One, in regards to your thing, Phoenix also isn't a small market. It's a big market, technically, even though people don't think of it as that. So don't be surprised if they're able to lure a bigger free agent than people expect to go there. And then exactly. Two, I just want to say kudos to them for their performance in the bubble, because a lot of people would have said they had zero chance to even be competitive in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they went out and they controlled what they could control. They won all their games. And they didn't make the playoffs, obviously, because stuff wasn't in their control. But they could have easily laid down or just went and took a vacation for 8 games like some of the players did, or like some other superstars said they were going to do and sit out mm-hmm. and not play. And they didn't do that. So I applaud them for, you know, being competitive and playing. And even though it didn't work out for them, you know, trying to make it work out for them.
Yeah, kudos to them. Last question, and I think George brought it up earlier. Should Booker want out, or should he be patient? George, you go first.
I think if you would have asked me this before the bubble, I would have said Booker's going to want out. He's too talented to be there. With the bubble, I believe he's under contract until what year? I don't know if you guys have that information.
Hold on, I have it right here. He has it till 2023-2024. $36 million.
So he's got 3 to 4 years, right? 4 years, I believe, left on his contract. Three. I would maybe wait 1 year, see what they can do. As hard as it's going to be to draft, you know, quality, see what they can get in free agency as well. But if he doesn't see anything in the next year or two, if they're not in the playoffs, I would definitely be either looking to put myself into an Anthony Davis type of situation where it's like, I'm not going to risk getting hurt. Trade me because I'm not going to be here. So get something for me while you can. Because there's still that looming possibility of having, you know, that D'Lo, Towns, Booker. You know, we've seen it over and over again. And I firmly believe at some point that will happen in the NBA. Kind of like LeBron, Wade, and Bosch happened. So I would still give it a year or two, see if Phoenix is really serious about building something special there. And if not, I would basically just say, trade me because I'm not coming back.
Q?
I think like George said, before the bubble, I would have said eventually he's going to want out if he doesn't already, just because of Phoenix's struggles. But maybe because of, you know, how they played there, I think he's going to give him a little more leash to right the ship. I don't know how much leverage he has since he is under contract till 2024. You know, they don't have to deal him or anything because he's not nearing a free agency at all. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think he's going to give him more of a chance than he was, you know, in March.
What their play in the bubble did essentially is it bought Phoenix more time to hopefully
definitely
to stay.
Definitely. I agree. I think he's going to give him, I think he should stay a little bit longer. But I think this offseason is very, very important for them. If they do good in the lottery, they get a good pick, and they can get someone decent in free agent signing, it's going to be fun. I'm just saying that. It's going to be fun. All right, from Phoenix to – well, Phoenix had a what, 8-game winning streak?
8-0 in the bubble.
8-0. We went from streaks to streaks ending. The Spurs, 20-plus years of playoff contention is finally over. Thank God. Q, thoughts?
I've been monitoring this since February, when I realized the Spurs weren't doing too hot and actually had a chance of missing the playoffs, because I was well aware of that streak. I mean, it's such a Spurs thing, you know, the standard of excellence they've set under Greg Popovich the past 22 years. So my hat's off to them. But at the same time, I'm not going to lie, kind of happy about it too, because I'm sick of them being a thorn in my team's side and many other teams' side the past two decades. And as Greg Popovich winds down his coaching career, you know, at some point or another, I think this was going to come, especially, you know, with everything that's happened after they've traded Kawhi and try to rebuild the franchise. So it's a little sad at the same time because it's an era ending. But like I said, being someone that's had to deal with the Spurs, also kind of happy about it too.
Yeah. George?
I agree with Q, just because they were a thorn in you know, in my team's side as well as the Lakers. But it is sad because, like, I feel like Greg Popovich and the Spurs were like that last remaining remnant of our generation of basketball, where you had, you know, Kobe and the Lakers, you had Timmy and the Spurs, and, you know, and the Spurs were the ones that were still kind of there. So having it end after 22 seasons. It shows just how great of a coach Popovich was, but it is a bittersweet thing, because you just look back on those 22 years and those battles that they had with the Suns, those battles that they had with the Lakers, and it was just a special time. Oh, Miami as well, where if it wasn't for that Ray Allen 3-pointer, you know, that they don't win that one.
No, I agree. Kudos to the Spurs. You know, great organization. They had a great run. Me personally, I feel like the Spurs, like, dynasty ended it years ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, shout out to them. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to them. The last time the Spurs didn't make the playoffs, which this is one thing I'm kind of worried about. The last time the Spurs did not make the playoffs, that draft, they got the number one pick and they got Tim Duncan. So does that mean they're going to – I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a top five pick. I'm going to just say that.
I'm just happy the odds are very low of that.
We'll see. It was low for the Pelicans, yet they got Zion. So we'll see. Mm. Let's go. Next one, J.J. Redick. I think it's 13-plus year. Playoff streak is over. I'm counting college and high school and whatever. George, thoughts on that?
Well, he hadn't missed the playoffs his entire career in the NBA, and he was the 11th pick in the 2006 draft. So, I mean, he's played a lot of minutes, a lot of playoff minutes, and you know, and you have that joke that happened at the beginning of the season where he kind of told Zion, "Hey, I haven't missed it, and I don't intend on having it happen." But when you saw the Laker players from last year, you know that they need more seasoning, they need more time. Granted, BI took a huge step, but if JJ genuinely thought he had a strong shot at the playoffs this year with the Pelicans, then he kind of, all I gotta say is congratulations, you played yourself. because I really don't think that Pelicans had a legit shot given how stacked the West was. It was gonna be a long shot for him to make it. So this streak ending doesn't really surprise me. And I honestly think that JJ signing in New Orleans wasn't even a smart decision on his part, because he would have been better off signing with a contender.
For the love of money. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Q.
You know, that one was one of the more interesting facts I have heard of, the fact that he hadn't missed the playoffs his whole career. He's been on some good teams, so it makes sense. You know, he was on the Clippers, you know, during the Lob City era.
But they were still the Clippers.
Yeah, he picked up the he got picked up by the Magic, you know, in that draft, and joined right at the right time, you know, as Dwight Howard started, you know, creating that franchise and building it around him. So, but even some of the stops here or there, you know, you're still able to make the playoffs, which you forget about. I think he was on Milwaukee for a season or two, and it was a time when they made the playoffs. So it's pretty impressive. You know, I know he's not a franchise player, a superstar by any means, but just, you know, obviously the contributions he's made to each of those teams, you know, you can feel them, you know, in his 3-point shooting and movement off the ball and stuff. So, you know, I don't know if I should say it's sad that it's ending, but it's crazy that we don't have that constant streak to look after now. But I mean, 13 years in a row in the playoffs is still very impressive. So good for him.
Yeah, I mean, good job, JJ. I mean, there's 13 playoff streaks, no ring. So
he got to the finals once.
Let's just go with that. Yeah, and then met with the Lakers.
And it wasn't with the Clippers.
Ah, whatever.
I'm just messing with you.
We'll see this year. You're the one bitching. Oh, my Lakers. I'm scared.
It's true, though. It's true.
All right. Anyways, let's go to before the bubble NBA awards. I want you guys to tell me. Let's go first with MVP. Let's go with George. MVP.
Just, you know, I was looking at the numbers. If I got to, like, give the MVP to someone, I'm probably going to have to go with Giannis again. He's averaging 29.5 points, 13.6 rebounds, 5.6 assists, 55.3% field goal percentage. So, that's higher than LeBron's field goal percentage. It's higher than Harden's field goal percentage. The only thing that LeBron's probably beating Giannis is in the assist category. But as much as I'd like to see LeBron get the MVP, I got to go with Giannis. I think Giannis deserves it again this year.
Q.
I mean, I would agree. I'm going to go with Giannis. I think by any statistical measure, any argument you want to make besides assists per game or like team strength, I think Giannis wins it. The Bucks have a better record. George already mentioned his stat line. That's all in under 31 minutes per game because Milwaukee's, you know, has huge leads in the fourth. Mm-hmm. If you inflate his numbers to 36 minutes per game, the scoring goes up to 35, the rebounds go up to 16, the assists go up. If you do a 48, a per 48 average, his stats look like Wilt Chamberlain the year Wilt averaged 50 points a game. It's ridiculous. So, and he's got advantages over LeBron and win shares, plus minus all the other advanced stats. So he's better on the defensive end of the floor because he's in the running for defensive player of the year. I think this is a no-brainer, more than a lot of people are trying to make it in the media.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add one thing. Why is Harden a finalist for this award? Yes, he's averaging 34.4 points on 44.3% field goal shooting. I mean, Giannis is shooting 11 percentage points higher. LeBron's shooting 5% higher. They're averaging less points, but they're averaging more assists and more rebounds than him. Like, can we seriously get off this Harden's a really, really good player train already? Like, I'm sick of it. I really am sick of it. That's it. Just going to add that.
All right. I mean, you guys said it. I mean, MVP is Giannis. It's not even close. Most improved player, Q, you go first.
This one's always the hardest category for me to pick because it always falls into three different areas. You know, the guy that went from a star to a superstar, the guy that went from a really good player to a star, and the guy that went from average player to now he's like a contributor. So I think the finalists are Doncic, Ingram, and Adebayo.
Yep.
It's just really which category or what you think it consists of being more improved. I personally don't have an argument for any of them particularly that stands out, but I'm going to go with Bam Adebayo because I think his numbers jumped up the most. And I think his growth is a little bit higher than those two in terms of going from someone who's a role player to now, you know, he's a top two or three player on that team. He's an all-star this season. He's a good defender. His scoring doubled. Rebounds went up significantly. Assists went up. He's way more of a playmaker than he ever used to be. So I'm going to go with him because he's really helped Miami turn into a legit playoff team.
Cool. George?
My pick on that, I know Doncic is a finalist. I don't think he should have been, only because it's like kind of already knew what you had with him and he's already going to be a future star. So I wouldn't say he's most improved. It was really tough to choose between Adebayo and BI. But I'm probably going to have to go with BI. It doesn't have to do with the fact that, you know, he was a past Laker and all that. But he averaged about the same minutes in New Orleans. He started putting up around 5 more points. His rebounds went up. His assists went up. And most importantly, his 3-point shooting percentage went up from 33% to 39%. Whereas Bam Adebayo, he went from averaging 23 minutes last season to 33 minutes this year. So I feel that a lot of those numbers are also based on more minutes and more touches and more opportunity, whereas B.I. still kind of had the same opportunities, and he improved the shooting percentage from the three-point range and his point total. So I got to go with B.I.
For me, it was tough. I mean, I like Bam, but I'm going to go with B.I. as well. B.I., before the bubble, he was just doing amazing. And there's nothing more I could say. He proved to be why he was the number two pick. Probably should have been number one, but that's neither here nor there. Bam Adebayo, the best thing that Miami Heat did was get rid of Hassan Whiteside. Because everyone who watched Kentucky play when Bam was there knew what Bam can do. And I don't know why he fell all the way to 13th or 14th pick, because he's your future. That was the future NBA big. The future NBA big was going to look like Bam. So why didn't no one get Bam? So thank you, Miami, for doing what not a lot of teams would have done. Trade their already good center away and let their young man flourish. And Bam is finally showing it. And I'm proud of Bam. You know, if I can do co-most improved players, it'll be both of them.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with B.I. Okay, defensive player of the year. George, you go.
I'm going to have to say just Anthony Davis. You know, when I think defense, I'm thinking, you know, blocks and steals. And as far as just the impact they have on the game, Giannis is averaging a block and a steal. Anthony Davis is averaging 2.3 blocks and one and a half steals per game. Rudy Gobert was another one who was a finalist. I know he's averaging two blocks and a little under a steal. But I just think that the impact Anthony Davis has on the defensive end for the Lakers is second to none, just because with Giannis, you still have a Robin Lopez, a Chris Middleton. You know, you have a lot of other really, really long, big players. Whereas when you look at the Lakers, honestly.
And the Lakers don't?
Well, yes, but serious? I'm saying when you watch the games, when AD goes off to the bench, the defense suffers a lot, and you don't see that as much with Milwaukee.
Okay.
So I'm talking about impact while they're in the game as well.
Okay. Q?
I went back and forth with this one between AD and Giannis. And then, you know, I almost considered Rudy Gobert in there because he shut the whole league down. That's a monumental defensive feat. But at the same time, you could say, you know, he couldn't stop the league from shutting down, so he's not a good defensive player too. But I think it's really hard. Milwaukee's at the top of a lot of defensive categories because of Giannis, but then the Lakers are right up there with them. But I'm gonna give Giannis the edge because individually his numbers are a little better in terms of defensive rating, rebounds, field goal percentage, plus minus, all that good stuff. It's really close, so I'm not going to be mad if AD gets it, one, because I'm a Laker fan, and two, because I think it's a toss-up, honestly.
I'm going to go with Giannis. I mean, for me, defense is not only about how many blocks or how many steals you get. It's also, like, how can you shuffle your feet? Are you stopping their superstar? It's, like, a lot of things that go into defense that you can't fucking have a stat for. Like, for example, I also think if Ben Simmons was healthy, I think Ben Simmons would also be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. But for me, I'm just going Giannis. Like, Giannis was a beast on defense. Whenever I watch him play, he was killing it on defense. And played less minutes. Like, fuck, Giannis. Last one, six man, Q, thoughts?
This one's tough, too. Because you got two guys essentially splitting votes in Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. And then Dennis Schroeder has obviously had a really good year. I think it's too hard for me to pick between Lou Will and Montrez. I think I'll go Montrez just because I feel like everybody's always known what Lou Will is capable of. And even though he shoulders a huge responsibility on the Clippers, I feel like it's mostly just scoring versus Montrez. You know, he brings energy off the bench. It's scoring, it's rebounding, it's defense. It's a little more multifaceted. So I'm going to go with Montrezl Harrell here.
George?
Yeah, I agree. I got to go with Montrez. Granted, all the finalists are averaging, around 18 points. But Montrez brings, you know, 7 rebounds. He brings a field goal percentage of 58%. And he's averaging the least amount of minutes out of all three finalists. So granted, like, the minute difference is, like, 1 to 3 minutes. per game, but I got to go with Harrell at this point as well.
Just like what all of you guys said, I'm going to go with Harrell. It's easy as that. All right, let's go. Let's talk about the bubble.
You don't want to do Rookie of the Year?
Oh, yeah, Rookie of the Year. I'm just going to make it simple. Ja Morant, is that everyone? Let's just go because we're like already an hour in.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ja Morant, okay, Coach of the Year, Mike Budenholzer.
No.
No.
Okay, no. Tell me.
Nick Nurse.
Nick Nurse, that's a good one.
I'm taking Donovan.
Donovan, good ones. I understand why. Okay, let's talk about the bubble. First off, overall thoughts on it.
They got it right. When you look at all the other major sports, they got it right. I thought it was fun. It was cool to see the players get a little bit more personal with certain things. You know, it just seemed because, you know, you pack them into one place and, you know, and it's just them. So you were able to see a lot of the personalities and a lot of the issues kind of come up during in-game. So I enjoyed that.
Nice. Q.
I mean, I love basketball more than any other sport in this world, so I'm going to sound biased, but the NBA just showed why it's the best league, the best professional sports organization on the planet. The bubble was well thought of, well organized, well executed. Games were exciting. They were dramatic. We saw a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that's exciting, too. And I exceeded all of my wildest dreams and expectations. So
and they address social justice issues.
Yeah. So hats off to Adam Silver and the NBA, who did a lot more in a lot less time than some other major pro sports leagues out there, and who actually do things authentically and not because they're popular now and they're trying to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Agree with all you guys. All right. Bubble MVP, Q, you go first.
I think you have to go Damian Lillard. For getting the Blazers in the playoffs, for putting up a 50-piece and a 60-piece. And then I think he got 40 the last game against the Nets. So what is that, like 150 points in a three-game span? Kind of pissed off at Patrick Beverley and Paul George for pissing him off, and now they don't have to deal with them, and the Lakers do. That really pisses me off. But I think you got to go Dame. You know, he missed those shots at the end of the game. There's no excuse for that, the free throws against the Clippers. And he redeemed himself. And Blazers, just we need to win one more game to get into the playoffs. And they have a very good chance of doing that. So I think you got to go Dame, even though Devin Booker and TJ Warren played amazing also.
Cool.
I agree with Q, everything he said with Damian Lillard. He just came in there with a purpose. He said he wasn't interested in going to the bubble unless he had a shot. And he made the most of his opportunity. And so they're definitely a team to keep an eye on come playoff time. Or at least I know I will. I will be.
Yeah, been a fan of him since Weber State, told a lot of people about him, went to his first preseason game against the Lakers as a rookie, told all my friends that I went with, this guy's going to be the truth, and he's been the truth, man. Yeah. Bubble bust, George.
Okay, this is going to be a little bit of I know there might be some arguing. I got to say Zion, he had some solid games, you know, 20-plus point games. But just because, you know, he missed the whole juggling of the minutes was an issue. And so my issue with that is mainly this whole bubble stuff. The Pelicans were included because they really wanted to get them into the playoffs, and it didn't happen. So because of that, I got to go with Zion. And with Zion being, you know, the face of that franchise at this point, no matter how young he is, you know, with all the hype behind it, I got to, just because he didn't live up to it and didn't get his team to the playoffs, that's who everyone thought was going to get in. Oh, the Pelicans. Oh, the Pelicans. Oh, the Pelicans are going to get that 8th spot. And it didn't happen, so I got to say Zion was the bust of this bubble.
Q.
That's not a bad answer at all. I'm going to go with this teammate, only because Zion's numbers weren't as bad as Lonzo Ball's.
Yeah.
I mean, 20. You can't make this up. 26% from the field, 19% from three. Those are... I don't have words to describe how bad they are, even though I'm thinking of several right now. But I'm not sure what it was. It just seems like he wasn't interested in playing. It's really disappointing for a guy that, like Daniel said, he believed in. I believed in probably even more than him, you know, being that he's from my alma mater and I watched him in high school and stuff. So I just hope he gets. I hope he gets it together because it's frustrating to watch. It's irritating, and he's still young. He can turn it around. It just doesn't look very good right now.
Yeah, mine was Lonzo Ball too. I can't even put into words what the fuck I watched with him. It's because I did not see that when he was at Chino Hills, when he was at UCLA. Like, you know, I don't know what happened to this dude. I don't know if it was his ex-girl who got pregnant, like, if that's still a thing.
Off-court issues?
What? Yeah, off-court issues. I don't know what. I don't know if it's LeVar. I don't know what it is. It's just what I'm seeing today, what I've seen when he was with the Lakers is not what I saw at UCLA. Was not what I saw at Chino Hills. And it's,
you know,
it's frustrating.
You know what I think of, D? What? I'm thinking of Above the Rim. Where your heart at, man? Where your heart at?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch that movie today.
But it's on Netflix.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, I know. That's how I'm going to watch it today.
Oh, man. But yeah, but I put also all the Pelicans because they had the easiest schedule and they blew it. I mean, there's nothing wrong, nothing else to say.
Yeah.
All bubble, most improved. Let's go, George.
TJ Warren. I don't think anybody expected TJ to drop 50 points in a game or do the things that he did. But again, he made the most of his opportunities. So I think TJ Warren was the most improved in the bubble.
Yeah. Q.
Yeah, TJ Warren. Scoring jumped like 12 points a game. I think you got to go with him.
Yeah, it's I mean, you can also add my boy Michael Porter Jr., but he's a rookie. He'll probably be a bubble rookie of the year for me. But obviously, TJ Warren is the most improved. He did really well. I just added this. Bubble rookie of the year, I'm saying Michael Porter. Did anyone?
Nah, I'm not arguing with that.
Q?
That's fine with me. But, I mean, I think everybody knew how good he was. It's just he's finally showing it now. Although I don't agree with his COVID conspiracy theories, but he's been playing really well.
All right, y'all. All bubble team. Give me your first all bubble team. George, you go first.
All right, so for me, I got obviously Damian Lillard with averaging 37 points, 4 rebounds, and a little under 10 assists. And he led his team to 6-2. My second guard, I got to have Devin Booker for what he did. So, you know, he's also averaging 30 points, a little under 5 rebounds, 6 assists. And he led the Suns of all teams to an 8-0 record. Mm-hmm. You know, my two forwards are going to be TJ Warren and Michael Porter Jr. You know, with TJ Warren, averaging 31. You know, I'm sorry, Warren averaging 31, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and his team went 6-2. Michael Porter Jr., you know, he was averaging 22 points, 8.5 boards, and 1.5 assists per game. Granted, the Nuggets only went 3-5, so that's the only thing that wasn't, you know, too impressive. I just give him the benefit of the doubt. I think they're a really solid young team, and I give him the benefit of the doubt of having that much time off, you know, causing a little bit of hiccups. And my big, this is going to be a little bit of a surprise, but I think he was the best big statistically. And he's in the playoffs as well, and that's going to be Nikola Vucevic. I was between him, AD, and I was looking at Embiid. Nikola was averaging 20 points a game, a little under 10 rebounds, 2.5 assists. I know they only went 3-5 in the bubble, but he was averaging better numbers than, you know, AD and Embiid and all them. So I got to go with Nikola Vucevic. And he was also averaging better numbers than Jokic as well.
Okay, Q.
So I just saw on my phone, they actually named Dame Bubble MVP, and they did release the first team all bubble just right now. And it's the five guys I would pick. They went positionless. So, you know, Lillard and Booker are shoo-ins. I think Warren's in there. And then the two other best players to me are James Harden, George's boy, and Luka Doncic. But, you know, shout out to Michael Porter Jr., who's played really well. And then Kristaps Porzingis, you know, now that he's healthy, he's been playing extremely well all year, but he's played really well in the bubble, even though Dallas, you know, has lost some of those games in there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I went Dame, obviously Booker, someone who doesn't get a lot of love, Caris LeVert as my three.
Yes.
Good point.
Brooklyn like did well in the bubble, which shocked the hell out of me. So he's my three. I have TJ Warren at the four. At my five, stats wise, I don't know, but I think he'll just be good with this team on defense. Bam Adebayo.
Yeah. I don't like that last shot by LeVert though at the end of that game, but that's okay.
He's never gonna take the last shot ever again. So
yeah,
so there's fine. So, but anyways, all right, let's go to our last topic. Oh my goodness, let's talk about the first round matchups in the East. First one, let's go with Milwaukee and Orlando. Just give me quick thoughts on it, George.
Bucks are gonna win. That's honestly all I got to say. Orlando had a, you know, again, young team. But they lost Jonathan Isaac. And even with Jonathan Isaac, Bucks are gonna win.
Yeah. Q.
Was this this was the first round matchup last year, I think, too. And Orlando stole a game at the beginning. But I think this year, just get the brooms out.
Yeah. Same thing. I know. I think Orlando played Toronto.
Oh, that's who. Somebody, one of them, it was switched, and one of them,
yeah,
both of them lost game one, I think.
But year, but this like year, it doesn't matter. Like, Jonathan Isaac, poor dude, he's always hurt. Tears his ACL. I don't even think Aaron Gordon's healthy. If everyone was healthy, this would be such an interesting matchup. But since they're not, it's going to be a sweep. All right, Toronto and Brooklyn. Q.
This isn't as, I'm not as confident in this as Milwaukee and that, but Brooklyn's just, you know, they're missing like what, six guys,
yeah.
You know, KD was never going to play. Kyrie was probably never going to play, but then Dinwiddie didn't come and all those other guys didn't come. They're too short staffed despite how well Caris LeVert's playing. So, Toronto should win this in minimum five games.
I agree 100% with that. I would even go as far as say that I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a sweep here.
Yeah, Toronto's going to win. Easy as that. Celtics 76ers. George, go ahead.
Ben Simmons doesn't get hurt. This would have been such a fun series, but I'm going to say the Celtics win it in six.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Q?
Very similar to George, this is a way more exciting series if Ben Simmons is in it because of what he brings on both ends of the floor. Even if he was there, though, I would go with Boston just because I think Boston they just own Philly. Like, they just owned them the last 40 years, and nothing was going to change that despite, you know, the Sixers having that talent. And so, you know, after this first-round loss, we'll see how much longer this process is going to take.
Yeah.
Good point.
I think I'm in the minority. I think this is going to be a sweep. Embiid's also hurt. Simmons isn't there. I don't know what happened to Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson. I mean, they're good, but they're not, you know, next level.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they ain't Jimmy Butler.
I know Embiid's hurt, but I think that'll just lead to more minutes for Al Horford and see what he can do against his old team. I'm not saying that, you know, if they can buy some time so they can get Embiid back, they might be able to steal a couple games.
I'm going to go sweep. Indiana, Miami, Q.
This is the only matchup worth watching in the Eastern Conference playoffs, especially given what's been happening with TJ Warren, his play recently, and then his interactions with Jimmy Butler. This is going to be really close. It's going to go six or seven. I hope it goes seven, just for my viewing pleasure. I think Miami all around slightly better than Indiana, and I think Indiana is going to miss DeMontis Sabonis in the series. So I'm going to go with the Miami Heat to win in seven games.
Q just said everything that I was going to say, so I second what Q said, and yeah, Miami is going to win in about six or seven. But it's going to easily be the most entertaining series in the East.
Yeah, I mean, you guys said everything, but what's going to be interesting is Derrick Jones Jr. is probably out with the neck strain. So it's going to be interesting to see what Miami does.
Yeah.
And I know Indiana's not healthy either. So I think this is the only East game I'm going to watch.
I think Sabonis's role with the Pacers is, you know, a much bigger role than what Derrick Jones had in Miami.
Yeah. I mean, So, all right, let's go to the West. Let's start with the play-in game. Portland or Memphis? Who's winning today?
So, correct me if I'm wrong. So, if Portland wins today, they're in. If Memphis wins today, there's a second game on Sunday, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I believe the first game in the bubble between Memphis and Portland was a little bit closer than, you know, some expected. But I think just the way Damian Lillard's playing, I think that they're going to want to try to get some rest before the playoffs start. So I see Portland winning today.
All right. Q?
Yeah, if Portland doesn't win today, they'll win tomorrow. Memphis is still very young, still very inconsistent. They dropped a lot of close games in this bubble, so I think if it gets close with how Dame has been closing these games out since the Clippers game, Portland should win one of these two. I think he's just too hot at this time, and Memphis just isn't there yet. He has more experience than them. The Blazers have more experience, so I expect Portland to win and make the 8 seed.
Yeah, I don't think Memphis has Jaren Jackson still. So, yeah, Portland. So let's talk about the Lakers versus Portland. Thoughts on that game as Laker fans?
You want to go first, Q, or should I go first?
I could go, I guess. I mean, the way Dame has been playing, you know, Portland's scary. I'm not going to lie. I'm scared of him. You know, I don't know if they're going to beat us in 7 games, but I know I'd much rather would play Memphis, and I would have much rather played Phoenix or New Orleans if they had, you know, been able to sneak in. But at the same time, you know, I don't think we should overlook how bad Portland's defense is. 27th in rating, 28th or 30th in, like, defensive rebounding, second chance points allowed. And the Lakers are top 7 in offensive rebounding and second chance points. And the Lakers have a great team defense. I know they don't have Rondo back yet, you know, who would be helpful in guarding Lillard. Oh, yeah. and still wouldn't stop him, but, you know, would make it a little easier. And they don't have Avery Bradley either. But I just trust Frank Vogel and staff to figure out a way to do it, to double him or to give him extra attention without leaving Carmelo Anthony, Gary Trent Jr., and CJ McCollum open. Portland, I think, will be scary and threatened, but I expect the Lakers to still win this series in 6 games.
I see the series going 7 games. It's hard for me to say who's going to win. Just to piggyback on what Q said, my biggest issue here is just Damian Lillard having one of those Damian Lillard games. Secondly, they just have so many guys playing at such a high level. Like, I don't know if anyone was expecting this out of Gary Trent in the bubble. CJ McCollum's been a little bit up and down. The only thing that brings me some sort of, you know, peace comfort. Is the fact comfort, yeah. Which is what Q said. Defensively, you know, they're not the best, and the Lakers are better than them defensively. But it's just a scary matchup, and I don't know if Q would agree with this. The Lakers just seem like they're missing their home court. If just playing in the bubble, it's just been different. They just seem a little bit out of sync at times. Sometimes it looks like the offense stalls out, and it stalls out really, really bad. So it's because of all those unknowns that this is definitely going to go 7, but Lakers win. That wouldn't surprise me, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Portland was to win in 7 as well. So this one for me is still a toss up.
I think honestly, Dame is having phenomenal. He's having a great bubble, but there comes a point where this dude gets tired. You know, he has to be exhausted. Yes. So I think once the playoffs start, and the Lakers really haven't been playing a lot of heavy minutes to their main players, I think. But I think once the playoffs start and those regular guys start getting regular minutes, I think it's going to hurt Dame. And because of that, I think the Lakers will win in 6. It's going to be entertaining, but I still think the Lakers are going to win in 6. But yeah. All right. Clippers, Mavs. George, thoughts?
I got the Clippers winning this one. And I got the Clippers probably winning in 5. Cute. I think that they're going to get Trez back, and the bench is just going to start having that awesome 1-2 punch again. Assuming Lou Will doesn't try to get some chicken wings again.
Cute.
I think it's going 5 also. It's not to say that Dallas isn't a good team, but I think against the Clippers, Clippers have just had answer for him every time. Had answer for Luka and their offense. And the Clippers, you know, in my opinion, have even though, you know, they didn't go 8-0 like Phoenix, they have looked really good in the bubble, given the lineups they've put out there and the lack of certain players' availability. They've still looked, you know, top-notch. So I think Dallas wins a game, but I think the Clippers handle business pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think the Clippers, it's no worries. Clippers in 5 or 6. Denver, Utah, Cube.
I'm pretty excited for this one. If it's anything similar to their double overtime game this past Saturday. Utah, you know, I was commenting to UG, they're not very deep. And Denver is. Denver is extremely deep. At some point, I think in that game, fatigue set in. It was more so on Denver than Utah. But I think there's only so much Donovan Mitchell can handle offensively on his own, or even Rudy Gobert defensively. And I think Denver just has too many weapons that'll hurt him, you know, on and off the bench. So I'm going to go Denver in 6.
George.
I second that. I go Denver in 6. They're just so much more deeper than Utah at this point. And Utah is really missing Bogdanovich. And so I got to go Nuggets in 6.
I'm going to go Nuggets in 5. And we're forgetting that Denver's missing Gary Harris and Will Barton. They really haven't played. So, yeah. So I'm going to say 5 still. This one is going to be a fun matchup. Oklahoma versus Houston. Russell Westbrook might miss a game or two. Q, what are you thinking about this matchup?
I think I'm even more excited for this matchup than the Indiana-Miami one because there's history here. You know, obviously Russell Westbrook traded for Chris Paul. You know, there was the rumors of Chris Paul and James Harden not getting along. You know, obviously Russell Westbrook, you know, loyal to Oklahoma after KD left and all that. So I'm excited to watch this series. I think it's going to be extremely close. And I really don't know who's going to win. So I'm just going to guess. And I'm going to go for the upset on this one. I think Westbrook, I think he's going to be severely limited by his injury. Maybe not severely, but I think it is going to have an effect. And unfortunately, I think it's going to have a similar result for him the last two playoffs and that his team gets bounced in the first round. I'm going to go OKC in 7 games. It's maybe wishful thinking on my part because I don't want to play Houston and deal with that kind of funky lineup. But I could see the Thunder winning this.
Right, I agree. I would not be surprised to see the Thunder winning this. I mean, let's just look at it this way. It happens all the time in the playoffs. Harden doesn't get usual calls that he's – and I say it all the time. He doesn't get usual – it's not like a broken record. He doesn't get the usual calls that he gets, and, you know, his production dips. Now there's more pressure on him to be the main scorer and the main ball handler with Westbrook out. And it would not surprise me to see the Thunder win. Plus, we're looking at a very healthy Chris Paul this year, which is – which has shown that, you know what, even at 35, a healthy Chris Paul is still a solid Chris Paul.
Yeah. Just like you guys said, like, I kind of want Oklahoma to win. Just a big FU to Houston, a big FU to James Harden. And also, like, fuck it, a big FU to Russell Westbrook. Like, he wanted a trade. Like, all this loyal shit, like, he still left. But maybe Oklahoma should be thanking him because they got like 3 or 4 first round picks because of that. And so I really want Oklahoma to win. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
And I just want to ask a question. Has anyone played with more All-Stars than James Harden?
More All-Stars?
Who did James
Harden play with?
All-Stars? Westbrook, Chris KD, Paul, Dwight Howard, KD. Howard. What I'm saying is, like, and the dude still can't make it out, still can't get past, like, you know, he went to the finals once in his career. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, well, okay. Dwight Howard wasn't the same Dwight Howard. Let's get that straight. Chris Paul got hurt because they could have easily beat the Warriors if Chris Paul never got hurt, honestly. And the KD, Russell Westbrook, that wasn't his fault. That was Scott Preston's fault.
That may have been his fault, because wasn't he told that he was out partying the night before?
Yeah, but you don't give up someone like that for Jeremy Lamb and I don't know who else. I think yeah. Kevin Martin or something.
They panicked in thinking his yeah. finals performance was going to be what he was like every big stage, which isn't completely inaccurate, but he just, you know, so much of a better player now.
Yeah.
Thought it was Rodman, dude. Nope.
I mean, I think Shad played with more All-Stars.
Yeah. Kobe, yeah, Wade.
LeBron. Kevin Garnett. Paul Pierce. Ray Allen. Steve Nash.
Yeah. Amari Stoudemire. No. Yeah, they were together for 1 year.
Yeah.
Slava Medvedenko.
Slava Medvedenko. Can't forget Slava.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Shaq on that one. Penny Hardaway. We didn't even bring up Penny.
Oh, that's right. Nick Anderson. I don't know if he's a star, but.
Yeah, but still. So, oh, man. But that Oklahoma one, that one's going to be that one's gonna be fun. That's probably the only one I'm going to watch.
Oklahoma and Rockets, yep.
Yeah, like actually watch. Like the Clippers one, eh. And I'm a Clippers fan, but I'm just waiting for Denver.
If it's Lakers in Portland, I'm going to be watching that one.
Yeah, no, definitely have to watch that one. The East, I would rather watch Lakers, Portland, Oklahoma, Rockets over any of them in the East.
Other than Heat, Pacers, that should be interesting. It would be better if they were at full strength, both teams. Yeah,
I think that's what hurts. Because and what doesn't get talked about is Milwaukee has it pretty easy until the East Finals. Because Indiana and Miami are hurt. Orlando's mm-hmm. hurt. So... they have Toronto Celtics.
They struggle against Miami, though. So I don't know if, I mean, even Miami at not full health. Spoelstra is a good coach. Miami is rugged. They can still bang with them a little bit. I mean, they're probably not going to beat them, but I don't think easy is the word I'd use for Miami against Milwaukee. They give them a tough time in the regular season.
They need Mo Wagner to get under Giannis' skin. They need.
Oh, fuck. Well, all right, man. That's it. Very long podcast, but, I mean, we haven't talked about anything in a while.
Yeah.
But, anyways, thank you guys for listening. And any last words?
Stay safe.
Yeah. Q?
Go Lakers, and I hope Portland loses the next two games, but I doubt it.
It's actually about to start right now on ABC, guys.
Oh, all right. We got to go. All right, guys. Come back next time so we can run it back. All right. Bye.